Here in Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah 17, verse number 13, we direct your attention here to the prophet and the things that he says here. In verse number 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. Why? Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. Lord, we thank you for your strength and the blessing that you put upon us, Father, and we thank you for the privilege to be able to meet with your house today and to worship you. And we thank you, Father, for each and every one that's come. And Lord, pray that you might help us, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we might seek in all things that are said and done to honor and glorify your name. Lord, that it might be first and foremost on our hearts and minds to lift up the name of Jesus. And Lord, those things that he says, those things that he bids his people and his children in his word and his scripture and the Bible to do. And Father, we pray that you just might help us. Take away the thoughts of our hearts, our cares, those things that beset our hearts and minds. And Lord, help us lay those things aside. And Lord, that we might fellowship with you, we might worship you. And Lord, render unto you the praise that's due your name. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved. Lord, that you might touch them. Lord, show them their great need. Lord, grant them repentance and faith. They might come to you as you command. And Lord, save them. Save them as you only can. Save their souls, Father, and add them to the church. Lord, as you would be pleased, we pray you'd work. Help us now with your word and bless. Take me out of the way and just speak through me. Use me in a way that you'd be pleased. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. Thee, he says. And they that depart from me, his prophet, and I think we can know that Jeremiah certainly was sent of the Lord to be a prophet to his people. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. And then it says because. It says the why. Why? Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. The title of the message this morning, Where is Your Name Written? Where is your name written? You, your soul, your name, where is your name written? Take a look over here in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, the Lord dealing with the disciples here, the apostles, having sent them out to do a thing that he had commanded them to do. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse number 17, we pick up the pass of the scripture here. In Luke 10, verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. They were excited about how it was that even the devils were subject to them through the power of the Lord. But the Lord said, I saw Satan cast out of heaven like lightning. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice that this power that I've given unto you for the work of the ministry that I've sent you to do and have called you to do, don't rejoice in that. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not. That the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Be excited, be rejoicing about that, praising God, because your name is written in heaven. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, here the apostle writing to the church at Philippi. In verse number 1 of chapter 4, we pick it up. And it says here in verse number 1, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. He had put some work into these folks and prayers for these folks and witnessing to these folks and even ministry of others that were there with Paul. This church up in Macedonia there between Asia Minor and on the way to Greece. And listen to what he says. He says, you're my joy and crown. He says, I long for you and I desire good things, the blessing of God for you. There in verse number 1 at the latter part. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. Stand fast in the word of the Lord. I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche. that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He says, these particular ones that he names, I beg them, be of that same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, we're in the same yoke together serving God. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say, rejoice. He says, these that serve there, these that I long for, these that I put much labor into in the ministry of the Lord, and the Lord saved you and put you in his church there. He says, rejoice. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And it was known, it's known there why their names were written. Because they were saved, because they were serving, because they had been convicted by the Lord of their sin. They've been touched and changed by him. And their names are written in heaven. He says there, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Here's the apostle speaks to the Jews that he's writing to, and it's good for you and me too, telling them about how to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, consider him and the contradiction of sinners that he endured against himself, lest they be wearied and faint in their minds, as it says there in verse 3. They've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, as the Lord did. And he goes on down here in verse 18, and he says, the Lord has not called us to that service like he did Israel and like he did the 12 tribes and the rigor and the difficultness, the detail of all that. But he starts off here in verse number 22. We pick it up. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, a blessed estate, a blessed way of service, a simple way of service, not as he referred to earlier about the mount being on fire and bounds set on the mount and that nothing and no animal or no person that could approach unless they would be destroyed according to the word of the Lord. And the commandment of it so that they could not endure, as it says in verse number 20. But we've been called in this New Testament age, in the day, in the age of the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church, we've been called into a blessed, glorious service, to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23, to the general assembly, to those that are saved by the Lord, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, the kingdom of God, the family of God, the church of God, a blessed estate, a blessed calling that the Lord has bestowed upon his people, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, speaking of Jesus, which are written in heaven, written in heaven. The Lord having saved the sinner out of their sin and from their sin and from the power of sin, the presence of sin, and those things that we've heard referred to even in other messages, the Lord having saved them and called them and put them in his church, they're written in heaven. A name, their name, our names written in heaven, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, justified, being justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, being made perfect before the Lord, as if we mentioned earlier, as if we had never sinned, and to Jesus being called to be there in fellowship with God, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than what Abel sacrificed. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, as he appeared there before Israel and out of the mount, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Speaks to us in his word. Speaks to us through those apostles that he gave, whose voice then shook the earth as it did there at Sinai, as he referred to in earlier verses 18 and 19 and 20. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Understand this, folks. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. It can't be shaken. It can't be moved. It can't be traded in. It can't be exchanged because it's founded by God. Let us have a grace whereby we may serve God with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire yet. Now, I added the yet, but he still is. See, God, who has been a consuming fire and worked the way he did in Israel, he's brought it down to our day that he's blessed us with the service of the Lord and his church in simplicity, having the word of God, the service of Jesus Christ, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, not needing a building or a temple, not needing sacrifices, giving the sacrifices and praise of our lips, our hearts being bent towards him, and our hearts and our souls being humbled before him to worship him, to serve him, to be a witness of him and what he's done for us. He's given us a very simple and blessed service. And he's watching. Because see, one day, folks, he's going to take and he's going to shake this earth. And we're going to take a look about that here soon. He's going to shake this earth, and those things that are not founded and those things that are not settled eternally are going to go away. But our salvation and our new body will endure forever. It will endure forever. When the Lord unfolds and lets go of his righteousness and his gloriousness on this earth, that it will do nothing but burn up. It will do nothing but be consumed. But we will be equipped to endure that and fellowship with him for eternity. He has and will make us so we can and may remain. Amen? We will remain because of him and what he's done for us. Written in heaven. Written in heaven because of the Lord. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, we see here the new heaven and the new earth in verse number 1 of Revelation 21. The new heaven and new earth, the first heaven and the first earth, it says there were passed away and there was no more sea. We come over to verse 27, the last verse of the chapter, Revelation 21. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, speaking of this new Jerusalem. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination won't enter into it, or that which maketh a lie will not enter into it. That's the reason we don't need to be about lying. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, they'll be the only ones. We'll be the only ones that'll be able to enter into that new city. We'll be the only ones that'll be able to be there on that new heaven and that new earth with no more sea. Those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Written in the Lamb's book of life. In Revelation chapter 3, the next point that we want to show here is there's a promise to the Lord's people. There's a promise to the faithful, to the Lord's people. I believe that's synonymous. The Lord's people will be faithful. We're called unto that. We're called unto faithfulness. There's a promise here of never being blotted out. Never being blotted out. Look at this weak church and this church here with problems that the Lord himself speaks to. Revelation 3, verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. And the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but you're dead, and art dead. This is what the Lord says. There's a name that you live, but you're really dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. There's some things that are still there, but they're getting ready to go out. They're getting ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. This is the Lord speaking. Remember therefore how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Watch. Strengthen those things that remain. And are about ready to die, get those shored up and get them right, because that's what I expect. Remember what you've received. Remember what you've heard, because I'll come back quick, and then it'll be too late. it'll be too late to do well, to do right, to serve me. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They're faithful. They want to serve me. They want to follow me. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. What's it say there in verse 4? And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. A promise to the overcomers. A promise to those that will be faithful to the Lord in his church. Stand for what's right. Stand for his truth. Stand for what Jesus says and what Jesus wants. Even though it's not popular. Even though it may not be understood by the world. Even though it might not be understood by those that claim to be the Lord's. But stand in those things. And rejoice in those things and fellowship with the Lord in those things. He makes a promise. The name will not be blotted out. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. The Lord said it. See, the Lord's holding the pen, folks. He's holding the pen. It's his book. It's his book, not ours. So there's a promise there to some to not be blotted out. Then next, there's scripture mention about those not written. Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1. Revelation 13, verse number 1. And I stood on the sand of upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. He could move quickly, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. He could tear up bad. He could claw and scratch and really destroy. And his mouth is as the mouth of a lion, ferocious, a bite that one could not be healed from, one that would, once it would get a hold of you, would not let go. And the dragon gave this beast his power, that is Satan, and his seat, his authority, and great authority. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after this beast, who Satan had healed this one head, one of the 7 heads that were there. And they worshiped the dragon, and gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This is a diabolical stand against God, folks. This system, this way, this earthly government cannot be meddled with by anyone, including God, is their claim. There is nothing, no one, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, blasphemy against God. And power was given unto him to continue 3.5 years, 42 months. And he opened his mouth with blasphemy against God, defying God himself from the earth, to blaspheme his name, to blaspheme his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Those of the saints, this one is blaspheming from the earth, is blaspheming those of the saints of God that are with the Lord in heaven. And it was given unto him, verse 7, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He'll be able to overcome them. Because there's going to be those during that time of tribulation that are going to be saved. And they will die. They will give their lives for the sake and cause of the Lord. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Those that don't have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life surely worship Satan and that system. They will. And they'll be found fighting against God and fighting against his people. Revelation chapter 17. Where's your name written? Where is your name written? Verse number 1 of Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials talk with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. There's this religious one that sits upon this beast. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints of the Lord, this religious representation of everything that's wicked out of Babylon, every bit of religion, every bit of false religion in the world, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. And we read about that beast earlier, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And that when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here there are those that are going to wonder after this beast, wonder after this religion, the beast being the governmental system of the world at that time and being manifested and brought to the revived Roman Empire. This woman that sits upon this beast is all the false religion that has originated and come out of Babylon. It's all culminated together in this woman that's represented here. And who is it that's going to wonder after her? Who is it that's going to wonder after the beast? Those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Written, we've seen written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that could be blotted out of the Lamb, or a promise of not being blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And then those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What about, does the Scripture talk about taking away or being blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Revelation chapter 22, take a look over here. The Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking with John and giving him this revelation, and then John, through the inspiration of the Lord, writing here. And look at what the Lord says here in Revelation 22. And I believe this application not only goes to the book of Revelation, but it goes and applies to the entire Word of God. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, John writes under the spirit and inspiration of the Lord, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's what the Lord says in his word, folks. That's what God says. He says, if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. In Exodus, and considering this about, is it possible to be taken away or blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Look in Exodus chapter 32. Here Moses is pleading for the children of Israel, and he's interceding for the children of Israel. He loves them so, and has a desire that they be faithful to the Lord, and they've sinned against the Lord, and they've sinned against what the Lord has commanded. And here Moses seeks to intercede for them here in Exodus chapter 32, in verse number 30. Exodus 32, verse 30. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold, made idols, put something between them and the Lord. And here, listen to Moses' intercession. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. What's the Lord say? And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses, you don't have any part of that work. The one that sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. You know what, folks? What it amounts to is that to be written in the book of life, one must have eternal life. One must have eternal life to not be blotted out of the Lord's book of life. After all, what's it called? The book of life. And when the Lord talks about life, he talks about none other than eternal life, doesn't he? He does. That's God's reference. When he talks about life, he's talking about eternal life. See, justification is essential. It's essential for the sinner to be saved and clear of sin before God. To be justified, to be just, made just by the Lord. The imputation of the righteousness of Christ on the sinner's behalf makes it to where God looks upon the sinner and sees no sin. You hear that? The righteousness of Christ put on you and I that the Lord has saved, placed on you and me, we that have been saved, the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us makes it when God looks at us, he sees no sin, because his son never sinned. God only sees the righteousness of his son, and therefore is it as if that child has never sinned. He is saved and justified by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternal life. One must have eternal life. One will have eternal life that's written in that book. And the Lord, we know the Lord's work and those things that he's done. The scripture is clear. But these things are being worked out in time. Here where you and I live. And what the Lord says in his word is true. Can any be taken away or blotted out of the Lamb's book of life? That's in God's hands, isn't it? It's in God's hands. And he's had that book from ages before, even before the foundation of the world. And he has it now. And look here. Look here what it says in Revelation 20. Look at what it says here in Revelation 20. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to listen to the word of God. Don't listen to me. But you listen to the Lord speaking to you. And listen to what these scriptures, we read over these scriptures, we're very familiar with these scriptures, but listen to what it says. Can one be taken away or blotted out of the Lamb's book of life? The Lord said, that's my business, Moses. That's my business. For one to be in that book, we know that one must have eternal life because it is the book of life, and that's the reference that the Lord comes from. But here in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12, listen to what it says here. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is not talking about those that have died physically. This is talking about the spiritually dead. Those dead still in trespasses and sins, without a Savior, small and great, rich and poor, of renowned or no renowned, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. How? According to their works, because that's all they have. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, if you experience the second death, you don't have eternal life. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. It's the way that it is. It only happens one of two ways. Born once, die twice. But born in the flesh and born in the spirit, physically only die once. And alive forevermore because of eternal life in Christ. And that is how it is manifested that one is written in the Lamb's book of life. When Paul talked to the Philippians there and those that were at the church of Philippi, and he writing to them to help them and encourage them and to rebuke them and those things that were needed for that church, how was it he could make the assumption that their names were written in heaven? because they were saved, because it was manifested they were the Lord's and are the Lord's yet. It's manifested in this life, and that's how we can know. We can't go over there and take a look. Am I okay? Where's the book at? We don't have access to it, do we? But it's manifested in salvation in the sinner and the works and the fruit of the sinner that is saved. And we didn't read a verse here in Revelation 20. We'll pick it back up in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Your name's not written here. You don't have eternal life. That's the reason you're at this judgment to start with. And they go on into the lake of fire. They go the second death because their names are not written there. So where is my name written? It should beg the question for each and every one of us. Where is my name written? You know, our natural reasoning, and I've alluded to it already, our natural reasoning would take us to the necessity of finding out if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Show me the book. I want to find out if it's written there. I want to know if I'm going to be okay. Show me that book. But you know what? We can't do that. Where's that book at? It's in the presence of God. It's His book. The Lord does not instruct sinners to find out if their names are written in this book. Did you ever hear that? Did we read any of those scriptures? And I've read and addressed all the scriptures that have to do about the book written in heaven, about the Lamb's Book of Life. I've addressed all of them. I looked at every single one of them, and we've mentioned them here this morning. He doesn't say, find out if your name's written in this book, but rather to obey His simple command, repent and believe the gospel. Amen. Repent of your sins. Repent before God and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. For you. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, very simple, plain verse. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It's not talking about just uttering it with your mouth. It's talking about from the heart. Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. Faith. Repentance and faith. That's where it is. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You know, it's not in the profession. Salvation's not in the profession. The profession comes because the soul has been saved. A heart matter. A salvation of God. A visitation of God. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. For you thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Won't be ashamed of needing a Savior. Won't be ashamed of being guilty before God. There is a shame in sin, but because of the greatness and the conviction of the Lord and the desire and the need to be saved and to have the Lord Jesus Christ, everything about self will go away, and everything about Jesus will come clear. Jesus will be preeminent. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this is the record, comma, that God hath given unto us eternal life, comma, and this life is in His Son. The Lamb's Book of Life requires eternal life, and eternal life is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about finding out if your name's written in the book, folks. It's about Where do you stand with you and your sin and Jesus Christ? Where do you stand with you, your sin, and Jesus Christ? And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life it is in his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So lastly, where will the names of those who are not written or have been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, where will they be written? Where will the names of those who are not written or have been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life? We've seen those references in the Scripture, just taking what God says. Where will they be written? Jeremiah 17, our text verse tells us about that, doesn't it? In Jeremiah 17, verse number 12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Salvation of the Lord is a great and a wonderful blessed thing because we've been made to be able to fellowship with our Creator and Savior. A wonderful, wonderful, blessed place to live. Yet we still live in this world. But no greater blessing experienced by any person on the earth is greater. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Jeremiah is speaking about what God had done for Israel. He blessed Israel big, didn't he? Bringing them as a bondman out of Egypt and then making a glorious, wonderful nation with them. And you know that's what the Lord does for us in saving us. He brings us to a higher plane, doesn't he? Not that for us to boast, but that we can have fellowship and communion, this great salvation, being taken from the muck and mire of sin and washed white as snow and made to be able to be called the sons of God, the children of God. O Lord, verse 13, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. Where are those that are not written or have been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Where are they written? They're written in the earth, folks. Written in the earth. Why? Because they have forsaken and departed from the Lord. They have chosen the way of the earth rather than the way of the Lord. They identify with the earth and the world and its system and sin and mankind and humanity. They have desired sin more than a Savior who can forgive them of that very sin. Written in the earth, they have chosen darkness rather than light. The Lord in the Scripture uses the words, because ye, 40 times. 40 times in the Scripture, the Lord uses the words, because ye have done this, this has happened. And because sinners reject Christ in their lifetime, they want a life in this world without the Lord is going to yield an eternity without the Lord. You, your sin in Jesus Christ, you got to face up to it. Each one of us have to face up to that very thing. The Lord in the Scripture uses the words, because ye, 40 times to indicate the reason for the results of folks' sins. Written in the earth. Written in the earth is where those that reject Christ and the Lord's way are written. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such they also that are heavenly. And as we, as the Lord's children, as we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen? Because we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And thereby we know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where's your name written? Where is your name written? If it's written in the earth, 2 Peter chapter 3, look what's going to happen to the earth. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look what's going to happen to the earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. Is your name written in the earth? Do you have the Lord as your Savior? Do you not know where your name's written? We point you to Jesus. But what's going to happen to the earth and those that identify with the earth and man's way and humanity and that way that is against God? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What is it that generally happens with elements that are melted? Our resident chemist can tell you. They consolidate. They come down and they shrink down. The dross and the wickedness and the sin is burned up. And even the elements, even those elements that are made to withstand much, much heat in the use and operation of this earth, they're going to melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and listen to what it says there, folks, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Don't identify with the earth. Don't write your name or be such that your name is written in the earth, because that's what you want. You want the way of sin. Remember how it says, and see how it says here in verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. Shall pass away. And what's it go on to say? With a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also will melt and pass away. And the works that are in there shall pass away. And what's it say? Burned up. Burned up. We read over there in Revelation chapter 21 in the verse where it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. What did it say? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There'll be no remembrance. There'll be no memory of the sinner. There'll be no remembrance and no memory of the one whose name is written in the earth. Where is your name written?